I can have everyone's attention, please. We will bring the Wednesday, June 27th, 2007 meeting of the joint Morro-Bay Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plant Joint Powers Meeting to order. And let the record show that we, oh, I guess you do roll call. Kimberly.
Board Member Lyons.
Not for them.
Absent. Board Member McHale.
Here.
Board Member Phones.
It's not on.
Board Member Raimundo.
There we go.
Yes. President Enns.
Here.
There we go. Council Member Grantham.
He's absent.
Thank you. Council Member Winholtz.
Here.
Council Member Demerit.
Here.
Council Member Pierce.
Here.
And Mayor Peters.
Here. Hear that. Okay, we'll have public comment both now and during the meeting, but is there anyone wanted to speak right now before our meeting? So there are agendas out there. If anyone wants to see one, they can borrow one from our city attorney or Mr. Ambo. And we will be observing the three-minute comment rule. Yes.
Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, and Joint Powers Agency friends, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group, dedicated to ending all waivers of the Clean Water Act like only San Diego has now. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for your diligence on making the transition from dumping dirty sewage to putting in place the machinations that are going to allow us to be more proud of the way we treat our precious estuary, which of course attracts 1.5 million visitors a year and growing. I did want to talk about some issues that are very important and very pertinent here. The first thing is that we have the, as you know, the Marine Life Protection Act initiative that's going on the coast of California. It's been completed in Central California. It's now in Northern California, and it'll soon move to Southern California. What is important about the Marine Life Protection Act initiative, and Morro Bay is playing a very important role right now, probably the most important role, and I'll tell you why. Because the idea behind it is Governor Schwarzenegger thought the thing to do to bring back our fisheries would be to take the most intact areas and protect them for a while to let them regenerate. And so what we did was, through the foresight of local agencies, we were able to create a Marine Life Protection Act initiative protection for the Morro Bay Estuary, which has now got a state marine reserve in it. Now, that state marine reserve becomes very important. And the reason why is because if you take a look at this one headline, you see a recent federal EPA study showed that Morro Bay Estuary is one of the healthiest in the nation. It's also a state marine reserve in the eastern portion. That means that out of all of the marine life areas, the state marine reserves in the coast, only two are estuaries, and only Morro Bay Estuary is very vital and healthy. And so what winds up happening, the IEPR report, the Integrated Energy Policy Report from 2005 from the California Energy Commission, own staff, and what they have said is that for the first time, conclusive science shows that once through cooling is very damaging to the environment. And so what we need to do, along with stopping the endocrine disruptors here that are being dumped, is what we need to do is we need to take the once through cooling configuration of the power plant off of the estuary. So I hope that this Joint Powers Agency will continue its excellent work toward protecting our precious natural resources. And I hope that you enjoy this new information I've brought. And I look forward to speaking again tonight on the issue of whether to go to oxidation dish or membrane bioreactor technology. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes. Oh, okay. He concluded, so that's okay. Anyone else? And we will have public comment again when we get to the public hearing item. All right, consent calendar. Anyone wish to pull anything to discuss on the consent calendar?
I'm going to pull one and two.
Okay.
I'd like to pull one A2.
Okay. Cayucas, there's nothing left to pull, but did you want to discuss either one of those? Okay. All right, A1, Melody.
Well, and I'll let Councilmember Winholtz have two, and then I'll just follow on what.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, on the minutes, I just simply wanted. I think it was a Cayucas person who did these minutes, and I was just wanting to comment on them in terms of complimenting the fullness of them, the richness of them, the fact that there are pages and pages that include so much information. And I didn't know minutes could be this wonderful. And also thank that person for making the end of the meeting last time say Demerit expressed unhappiness. I just thought that was well written. And so I would move approval of A1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Cayucas.
Cayucas, same motion.
So moved.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mayor Peterson.
All right. A2, Betty.
I have a couple of questions for Ms. Layton,
okay.
The finance director. You've probably told me before, but I truly don't remember that. And why does it fluctuate between 90,000 and 10,000 and then back up to 43?
The year-to-date revenues at this point were 43,000 as of March 31st. We have accruals that need to come in, and then, of course, starting April 1, we had the higher amount that we were getting from the RV park. Mm. So it would fluctuate based on what kind of gross profit margin we were dealing with, when we were getting our rent payments from the RV park. If there was any other, there shouldn't be any other rental property that was involved. I really can't speak to how 2005-2006 came out so high, and at this point in the year, we're, you know, basically at three quarters of the year, and we're significantly lower. I would actually have to look that up for you and report back.
Okay, that'd be great. Thanks. And let me see if there was one other question. I'm not sure that it was a question, but maybe more of a pointing out that, and maybe it is a question, and maybe this will be dealt with actually later in the budget that you're presenting to Cayucas, but we seem to be getting deeper in debt, that is drawing more and more from our reserves, and I know that at Morro Bay we've increased our rates to keep going up a little bit, obviously not significantly enough to keep track. And I don't know if, maybe I'll just wait on that comment until we get to the other budget, because the budget as amended is lower than what we actually put out last year, and I don't understand how we reduced that budget so much.
I'll wait then on to
the next one. Thanks.
Okay, so you're moving approval of this then? Ready?
I move approval of A2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Cayucas?
Cayucas, same motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
All right, then we go to the unfinished business. Further discussion of alternative treatment processes, including biosolids treatment. Maybe before we do that, I should go to the emergency item. We do have an emergency item we need to add to the agenda under new business tonight, and that is to actually confirm by resolution a schedule of...
Okay, Cayucas, same motion.
I have a few questions on it. What is it exactly?
You say you have a schedule. Where is it?
On the back page. It's the same one we've been discussing. It's just we need to confirm it by resolution in order to start getting funding going.
I think right now we just need to decide if we want to put it on the agenda, and then we can discuss it separately. So the motion would be whether or not to put it on the agenda as an emergency item.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is that unanimous? Yes, it is.
Okay, so we will discuss that under new business. First of all, unfinished business. Further discussion of the alternative treatment processes, including biosolids treatment options for the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant. And Carrillo, I imagine that's Tracy. Can I give that report?
Yeah, I was going to do a quick introduction to that, just to kind of frame the issue. I guess the good news is, I think the CSD and the council knows this, that at the Monday city council meeting, the city did vote for alternative 1A, which is the oxidation ditch infiltration. So both the district and the city have selected the same preferred treatment alternative, which allows us to kind of move into some other areas that we need to discuss. I think the goal at this point now is to, we have a couple issues that probably need to be decided, and maybe Bruce may need to weigh in this and David may need to weigh in this, is we need to get the facilities plan to a point where we can adopt a draft facilities plan so that we have a project selected so that you can begin the next tasks on the time schedule, which is both the environmental and the design work. So, and I'm not sure how much of the biosolids issue we have to resolve and how much of the site considerations that we have to resolve prior to finalizing a draft facilities plan. And my understanding is that we have money, we have a phase two of the facilities plan in the contract that was awarded about a year ago that allows us to bring in and modify the plan with any updates that occur during the environmental process. But I do think that, you know, we're getting to the point now that we're going to need to make some decisions on the biosolids issue. And the other issue is, where do you want to put the ditch? Do you want to stay within the fence that way? So that's kind of what you're going to hear from Carrillo tonight, is a little more information on the biosolids issue. At this point in time, at a staff level, when I wrote the staff report, I have been vacillating as to which alternative I prefer. Certainly I like the composting project. I think it has a lot of advantages, but there are just some of the concerns are higher capital cost, potentially increased labor cost, you have space constraints, acquiring enough green waste to do a full composting project, and any potential odor issues. So as you listen to Tracy's presentation tonight, kind of keep those in the back of your mind, and we can discuss those as we go through. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tracy Clinton from Carrillo.
Thanks, Bruce. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, Honorable Board Director, Board, thank you very much for allowing us to come once again and present to you, I think, our final findings on the Facility Wastewater Master Plan. We have a new logo at Carrillo now, and engineers working wonders with water, so you're one of the first that gets to see it on their presentation. So this is a picture of the CMC wastewater treatment plant right down the coast from you. And I'm showing you this project because they have oxidation ditches, which are similar to the ones you'd have. But also, they've been running about a month, and they're producing a very high-quality effluent that's supplied to the Dairy Creek Golf Course. So they do meet California Title 22 tertiary reuse standards. And it's a low turbidity, less than 1 NTU. And the biological oxygen demand is also less than 5, very low numbers. And the total suspended solids is less than 5. These are similar numbers to where you'd be operating in, and again, the type of process. Tonight, we're on item topic number 5, where we've got the three meetings. Get my pointer.
While Tracy's doing that, David brought a sample of effluent from the CMC facility if anybody wants to see it later. It's very clean.
Thank you. We're on, as we said, topic number 5, and June 27th, to discuss the recommendation selection. As Bruce said, we've got a couple of items, so I want to proceed through tonight's presentation a little differently and sort of give you some information and then stop and ask questions. We're on a design flow of 1.5 MGD. Electrical study has been completed. The corrosion study has been completed. The revenue programs for both the city and the district are complete. There was an initial flood impact study that's been completed, and there's additional work that's recommended, and I'm going to go into this next. And both the city and district have decided on tertiary for upgrading the wastewater treatment plant. I wore my purple shirt in honor of the decision to go to tertiary. So about the additional flood impact evaluation, if you remember, there was a little bit of flood information presented, and a sub-consultant did that work, and they are recommending to do additional work, and it's really divided into two phases. The first phase would be about $8,500, and this is for Wallace and Associates, I believe, to acquire new data from FEMA and perform a field study. So they actually look at the datum of the information they have and the flood levels and the elevations around the plant and that sort. If it's adequate, then this is all would be need to be done at the time, and then we can know how to design the plant, whether what flood zone it's in. And this is a point we're going to stop at the end of this slide, so I'll keep going and then we'll stop. The phase two would be about another $46,000 if it's needed to be done. And again, this is for Wallace and Associates. They would perform a detailed flood study, doing actual flood modeling, analysis of improvement alternatives, looking at a flood wall, berm, that sort of thing. Sometimes we think about flooding coming up from the waters. It's also, I know one of the plants I worked up in Benicia, California, has a strait, and then there's a wetlands, and then the treatment plant, and a large flood wall was put in there, mostly to keep the water that was outside of the plant outside of the plant, so it's not, you know, coming into it. And right now, we have in our cost estimates about $2.5 million for flood mitigation. That would be for possibly a berm wall or whatever would need to be done. This study will help determine whether that's needed or not. So there's a point when you can go forward with this and direct Bruce to start with the phase one and see where it would be, and then we could possibly take that cost out of the estimates. So, Bruce, do you have anything?
Yeah, we have looked at the scope of work that Wallace provided. I don't speak information on when we need to do that in the sequencing, and he should be back. His wife had a baby Monday night, so I think he's going to be busy for a couple weeks.
I think I'd like to insert a question here. I know, Tracy, you wanted to wait till the end, but I think it would be more coherent to ask this question right at this moment. And that is, I went up to the Ocean Protection Council and presented our project up there, and then stayed on to listen to a woman from the Monterey Bay Research Institute give her prognosis for sea level rise. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there's a lot of variables, but she was talking about Greenland sliding into the ocean and all that kind of thing. Will this flood impact, you say, keep water outside the plant, will it also look at potential sea level rises anywhere from, you know, the 1 foot to the 20-foot scenarios that we keep hearing about?
Hi, David. Address that.
Since we are at sea level with this plant.
With Carollo, Tracy looked at me. We wouldn't specifically look at how to protect against something as high as 20 feet, but the answer you would get is if the due to global warming it came up that 2 or 3 feet we are protecting against, then yes, you would at least know.
So they're going to look at whatever the elevation is of this sea level $60 million project.
Yeah.
Because then I talked to the woman actually and said, would you put a $60 million project at sea level infrastructure? And she said, don't think so. But we are. So I just want to know, will that be included in the Wallace study?
No, it can be. But right now, you know, it's not part of that scope.
Though.
Yeah.
have a related question, and that is, I understand that Governor Schwarzenegger signed a law a few weeks ago regarding this very item, and that projects have to go through extra review for climate change now. Is that true, and is that part of this also? Do you know the impact of that law passing?
No, with greenhouse gas emissions.
That's what I know.
Is that what it is?
I don't know of it with sea level rise. I know of it with greenhouse gas emissions. He had said for any projects going forward, especially ones requesting any sort of grant funding or financing, that they would have to do an extra step and do their greenhouse gas emissions and carbon calculations.
And that's what was passed a few weeks ago or signed by him a few weeks ago?
That's my understanding.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, sir. You said we've been notified that you've decided to move forward with the oxidation ditch and the filtration, and also review biosolids management options, the partial composting, the direct haul, and those. So first, I'd like to talk about the oxidation ditch location options. This is a figure that you've seen quite a bit throughout the presentations. This is the alternative for the addition of the oxidation ditch with filtration. And what we've shown is the additional chlorine contact basins, and these are the additional filtration units. These are the two locations that we've shown and carried throughout all the presentations where the oxidation ditch could be located. And some of this will have to do with a little what we talk about later, which is the sludge portion. As you can see, this proposed location, and these are similar to what I showed you earlier at CMC, the long basin, so this really represents the sizing of them and the shape. This is one location, and this is the second location. The proposed facilities right now in this area are over some of the sludge drying beds. So we'd either need to maintain the sludge drying beds if we're going to continue the composting, so those need to be located somewhere else, or we locate, this is a what we've called termed as the preferred location for the facilities, so that the sludge drying beds can be maintained at the facility. So with this, Bruce, you might want to add something also.
My understanding is that they don't have to go where the green ditch is right now. Basically, that was the most convenient, I think, for lack of a better word, is to try and keep the plant somewhat contiguous in terms of making things easy for the operators and not have the area spread out. But I believe there's jointly owned property in the concrete plant. You could shift the ditches east so that you're not right up in front of where the trailer park is now, but take what is more easterly on that drawing. So I think there's a number of options, and what I'm being told is that they can basically put the ditch anywhere, because what they're going to do is they're going to pull water out of the ditch, they're going to return solids back to the ditch, and it's more a matter of ease of operations for the operators. But if there's compelling reasons not to put it in the trailer park and to move it to another location, I think that's
to the filters and the chlorine contact basins. So,
okay, my question would be, having visited somebody who was staying in one of those little camp places right on the back of that property, what is the odor situation going to be for people staying there? Because it was noticeable with the ditches where they are, with the areas where they are now, and I'm just thinking that's awfully close to where people are spending the night.
I think, as Dave has reported on the other facilities in Pismo, that there's relatively no odor. It's a low odor. If anything, it's a musty. Is that correct, Dave? Yes. He's shaking his head.
What about at CMC? Have we been out there to know?
Bruce was? And Dave went today. Any odors from that you can?
So not something that would be disturbing to our tourists who are staying in the RV park? Well, it's an issue. I mean, if we can move it anywhere, it's certainly a consideration we ought to make.
Everybody has a different threshold for a tolerance of even a musty odor. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to say you will never get a complaint. But I personally feel like the complaints will be limited and that it won't be any significant issue.
Compared to what it is now, it would be less?
I think it would be less. The ditches would have less than a trickling filter, but
yeah, and
I'm not out there every day.
So. And I think you'd get less from, I think the primaries have odor. That is a potential source of odor for us, and I think that would be reduced. But I will point out that if you were to put the ditches, if you keep the sludge drying beds where they are, there is odor associated with that product. There is odor associated with composting, potentially. So those are some of the issues. And you know, one of my neighbors is sitting in the audience right now. He's been a good neighbor. And he hasn't filed a bunch of odor complaints against us. I know there have been times when we're more odorous than others. And certainly we strive to make our operations as non-odorous as possible. But when you're putting sludge in a sludge bed to dry, there is definitely odor associated with that. And those sludge beds are very close to the wall that separates the campground from the wastewater treatment plant.
So given the other factors, that's something that we ought to be thinking about as we go through this process tonight. So,
I have a follow-up question. Bruce, it seems...
But yeah, there is definitely odor coming out of the sludge beds.
Okay, so when we get to the public comment, Doug, why don't you come on up? Okay.
Just perspective, if this was a permanent residential subdivision sitting where that that trailer park is, we would probably spend another $6 to $8 million to cover everything. I think we discussed this earlier and talked about how much effort we put into odor control, and that because it's a light industrial and it's not residential, that something like Pismo Beach, which this is, mm-hmm. Where they have some light housing nearby that has not been a problem, that this type of treatment would
I'm
be
not
acceptable.
Questioning the project choice. Yeah. I'm just saying it's something that we should be looking at as we look for where we want to put these.
And whether it's 20 feet away or 60 feet away, probably doesn't make a difference if the wind is in the right direction. So I guess that was my main point. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? On sludge beds. Okay, Tracy.
Thank you. Yeah, as Dave said, I really think a lot of it comes down to the prevailing wind direction. So with this, we'll hopefully look for some direction given to us so that we can identify which option at a future point. Biosolids. In-county biosolids management must treat the biosolids to a minimum of Class A in order to dispose of in the county and support local sustainability. So tertiary treatment can be adopted for full or partial composting. We're not worried about that, so just to let you know, there's that's easily accommodated. Composting is the most logical treatment option to achieve Class A biosolids. And this, right now, you're doing partial composting. And again, this is based on your current practice. So Class A biosolids, as we showed, right now there are these concrete berms, and we have the sludge drying beds here in these different windrows. And, drying, as Bruce mentioned, there's some odors with that, depending on the considered a dumping ground, and they're trying to, not allow that or reduce it down, especially when you have solids coming from areas like Los Angeles. So that's really an uncertainty. The San Joaquin composting and incinerator facility, again, with composting getting harder, they're looking at building an incinerator facility and burning the composting. And at that stage, it's more expensive and more costly, but it might be what needs to be done in the end, depending again on regulations, and that would depend on the air permits and everything. And the temporary permanent ordinances in San Luis Obispo County is another consideration. And again, this would be for full-scale composting if you said, let's do 100% composting. there's also a higher potential for odors. As we said, you're now composting. You've seen the sludge beds. It would be more of that area because right now the plant's only partially composting, so it would be more sludge beds, which would lead to more odors. So the continued practice of partial composting, currently the practice is received well by the community and is endorsed by the treatment plant staff. The quantity does seem to be appropriate for current community demands. Limited green waste quantities impact the amount of biosolids that can be composted. So you have to balance those two quantities to come up your green waste and your level of composting that you can achieve. This option, the reason I bring up the partial composting, because it requires the full rehabilitation of the digesters, which we've included right now in our costs, assuming that you continue with the practice you have. So if you do partial composting or 100% composting, we need to rehabilitate the digesters. And that cost is included in the numbers that you've seen. So this is where, as Bruce mentioned,
I think in the numbers that we have provided to date, the projects that were evaluated in the facilities master plan, we chose to use direct haul of biosolids without rehabilitation of the digesters. So in fact, that $2 million would be an additional $2 million to the project cost, correct? We don't have rehabilitation of digesters in there.
It's on a chart coming up.
Oh, okay.
I have numbers.
Okay.
I have them. We've shown it both ways.
But it's not in the base project.
Right. We've shown them both ways and talked about them both ways. I just wanted to have you realize that that is the main cost differentiating factor, is the partial composting or the full composting does require the digesters. If we did direct haul, we wouldn't need the digester.
Dylan Wade has been down to the plant and looked at that digester, and he would concur with that conclusion. The other two would just have to be rehabbed so that they could continue to run.
And would that, with the two digesters rebuilt, does that allow you to go to full composting, or does that limit you?
It should be adequate to anaerobically digest all the solids produced. Operationally, as we get into this discussion, I would push for the construction of a third digester. I think that it provides a lot of operational flexibility. For a long time, we were unable to clean digesters because of the cost associated with it. Over the last 10 years, we can clean a digester and pretty much contain the solids on site, so we've been able to do it very, very economically, and it's really helped operationally. So only having two digesters is going to be a little bit of a juggling act when the time comes to clean them, and I think you're going to see the cleaning costs be extreme because you may have to truck that material off-site.
Bruce, a couple of things. Just listening to what you're saying, why wouldn't you really push for three now? You know, it looks like, you know, that's the way you've been operating, and it gives you flexibility. I know it's all about the money, but it seems the logical answer is to do three.
Well, I think that was the case, and I push for operational flexibility and making it as easy as possible and beneficial for the operators. I think the engineers would tell you that if we had to run on only two and it came down to cost and you couldn't afford to build that third one, we could do it. We can make it work. But I can tell you from running three over the last 10 years, our ability to clean them and maintain them has been enhanced. So it's going to come down to money on that issue. And if you want to rehabilitate digesters, there's an initial $2 million cost, and I don't know what the construction cost of a new one would be. So I'm sure it's in the $1 million range. I mean, it's got to be. So that's just more money you have to factor in when you make that decision.
One more, Bruce. If we do the partial composting, would you be doing the same quantity of composting you're doing now, or would it be proportionally bigger because we have a larger hole?
Well, that's a good question. At the present time, we're striving to own it, so it may be easier to send the stuff to the valley. It's really kind of a value judgment on that. So,
if I comment, the reason we came up with the concept of partial composting was that we thought Bruce could optimize his current sludge bed capacity, whatever that is, 30, 40, 50% of the sludge stream, and not make a financial commitment to more sludge beds and you know, until, you know, we knew that was the way that we wanted to continue to go. And I might put the third digester in that same category, that once you know you want, you for sure want to compost, then you might have a project that has sludge beds and a digester and brings it up to, quote, full capacity and meets the operational needs. So that was kind of where we came up with a partial composting.
I think I hear what you're saying is that right now with the two digesters being rehabbed, we can handle what we can handle. And let's wait for state direction or county direction before we go to three digesters or complete composting. Is that fair?
That was the concept of the partial composting. Or you could go to the option of full composting, which would include more sludge beds, and we could add a digester. That would be the full composting. We build it all now, yes.
I got one more question about the composting. If we're actually considering purchasing green waste, aren't we giving away the compost material now?
Presently, we're giving it away.
So would there be a market if we started charging for it to recoup our costs?
I think potentially there is a market there. We would certainly have to do some marketing, and we would have to add screening. Presently, we leave the woody material in the compost, so it comes out looking more like a mulch. If you were to screen it down to, say, a quarter inch, I'm fairly positive you could probably market it, but I don't know what you'd get for it, and that brings in a whole other level of complexity to the project that we've been trying to avoid. And really, it's been more of a disposal, beneficial disposal option for us than anything else. And
I know, but if we start paying for it, that's where I was wondering, is it going to still be beneficial?
Well, what you're going to do is you're going to offset your what it costs you to truck it out of the county.
Versus what we can...
It might cost you the same amount of money, you're just not trucking it out of the county, and now you're able to give it away to the local community. But your bill hasn't decreased prior to, and okay. We can't just take whole plants and kind of throw them in the pile. It doesn't work as well. Because what you want to do is put the green waste and the biosolids together and make a real uniform mixture, and it composts better that way.
How much is a shredder or a chipper? Is that something that's very labor-intensive?
Well, then again, we would, you know, we're then going to become, I don't want to use the term, the landfill or the dump, but, you know, that becomes another level of we need storage, we need area, and we're still working all those issues out.
Okay. Anybody else?
So continuing the practice of partial composting, it's an appropriate and cost-effective practice, we really feel, for Morro Bay Cayucos Sanitary District at this time. So we recommend continuing to compost a portion of the biosolids, again, that way you can balance the digester needs also. The partial composting does promote sustainability within the community, which is always a nice positive. And really, there's no impact on the footprint of the treatment plant. It would stay the same in the same areas. So here's that chart I was talking about with the dollars. We've shown the oxidation ditch and filtration alternative. With direct hauling, the project cost of $26.2 million with partial composting. Here's that extra $2 million difference that you're seeing in the costs. And then with full composting, a little bit more in the O&M costs and, again, the total present value costs. So with that in mind, really adding composting has an impact on the rate similar to adding tertiary. It's about a dollar a month for both agencies per connection. So questions about tertiary treatment, questions about biosolids. I think we went through most of those. Sure.
Are you saying that full composting is only about $20,000 more than partial composting? That can't be right. Am I reading this wrong?
You may be reading the O&M column.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's the O&M. Okay, I'm sorry. About 500
Thanks,
grand.
Thanks, Bruce.
Sorry about that. 500
no
grand.
No problem. The total present value cost or the project cost is the one to consider the differences. So you see between partial composting and full composting, it's about $500,000.
We ran the numbers on the rates. There was about a 5% increase between the oxidation ditch and adding filtration. So you're probably looking at another approximately 5% increase to what you voted for on Monday night.
So that's 10% up to the, is that 5% of 5% or 10% up to the
ratepayer?
Well,
it's actually compounded probably. It's actually a little bigger because it's 5% of 5%. So it's going to be, you know, it's getting into the compounding numbers.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
By all means.
You still show a chlorination-dechlorination facility. I was wondering if we're thinking of ultraviolet to handle the THM problem.
The disinfection? No, I think the contact basins, chlorine contact basins.
Do we chlorinate the discharge?
Yes.
Then we would dechlorinate it as well.
Yes.
And there would be THMs in the process.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a byproduct of chlorination. THMs are a byproduct of chlorination.
So are we concerned that regulations may come down since it was said that THMs are a problem for the environment?
From my experience with tertiary treatment, it's a problem in surface waters, navigable surface waters, the Inland Basin Plan, surface waters of the state, not the ocean plan.
I'm concerned about when they change the ocean plan and put the same requirements on it.
I haven't seen any direction towards that. Bruce, have you heard anything?
No, I understand your concern, mm-hmm. and I, at this point, I don't know if there's anything on the horizon for that, which doesn't mean there won't be in the future. And I would imagine, I think CMC may be looking at either chlorine dioxide or ultraviolet if they have THM issues. So you could still chlorinate using a different chlorination project process. That is what City of San Luis is doing because they have THM issues with the creek, which are really, the limits are extremely low, lower than drinking water standards actually. And I believe they've gone to chlorine dioxide, which does not produce THMs. And I don't know the exact chemistry behind it, but chlorine dioxide, it still uses chlorine as a disinfectant, but I don't have an answer to that question why we haven't gone down that path. I think we've just kind of stuck to the conventional on this to date, but maybe David has a comment on that.
And could you also answer, would it take a different machine to use do that, or
I think
convert the one that we would be putting in?
I think the machinery that feeds it to the wastewater would be the same machinery, but there'd be another piece of equipment we would bring on site that generates the chemicals. So there'd be another piece of a equipment, about the size of maybe from here to the front of this building, something of this size that actually uses electricity, so it's not very green and generates the chemical on site. But the reason we didn't go down that road is because of the discharge to the ocean. The THMs discharging in the ocean at this time just has not been identified as an issue in the ocean because it has such a tremendous assimilative capacity and it's diluted so heavily, like 1,000 to 1. What are the dilution ratios? I mean, it's diluted so rapidly, so heavily, it hasn't been identified as an issue in an ocean discharge, which most of the ocean discharges are very thankful for along the coast.
But since we're going to reclamation supposedly at some point, would we have to add that piece of machinery at that point?
Not if you're going to direct reuse application, because it's not an issue on crops, and in fact the soil would things we've seen, the soil and the crop growth, you know, can in fact take care of those, so it shouldn't get into the groundwater. These things haven't been researched heavily, but applying it to grass or crops has also not been identified as an issue. The issue is fish, vertebrae in a stream, very critical. Issues can be if it gets into the groundwater and then gets pumped back into a stream. Now, if it gets into the groundwater and we pump it up and you drink it, it's probably okay. We're much more we're much more resistant to it than the invertebrate in the creek, where it's that.
This is my first hearing of that acronym THM. Could you just unwind the acronym for me and the public?
Trihalomethanes.
Trihalomethanes.
Yes. It's chlorine. The chlorine will react with the organic carbon and create this chemical that isn't measurable concentration, isn't very friendly to fish and invertebrate. Yes.
Okay, then let me just say for the entire board here that we should be aware of that as a byproduct of this chlorine process and probably go with a different kind of system, because I'm getting tired of saying it's okay for a fish in a stream but not a fish in the ocean, because the ocean's so big. But we've been doing it to the ocean for years and decades and decades, and we should really be caring about the ocean, both for our fishing fleets and for life out there. That's why we went to tertiary, and now I'm hearing about these. So I don't like hearing, let's do the conventional, because the conventional is what's been polluting the ocean.
This question and the question about the global warming and the rising tide, these are actually excellent questions for the environmental process and for them to weigh in on that and bring that to light. And that would be very appropriate to be one of their mitigations that they would add to the process when we come back. So.
But to wait that long, means we delay knowing the true cost of this plant, when we know right now, if that becomes an issue, that we have to pay for it. We know is going to be paid for the plant really isn't but a base number, and there will be a number of things added on, unless you've already added that into the cost.
I haven't added that in. Just from my knowledge on it, the capital cost for adding the equipment would not be significant, and in fact, it probably would be rented or leased rather than maybe purchased. That's often the case with these generators. But so the cost would be in the monthly cost out of the EIR process.
Could you be more specific as far as what's significant? I mean, is that $100,000 a year?
I don't think it would be $1 million.
Okay,
if it
was an annual lease thing, like $100,000 a year or something like that?
It might be on that order, but that would also surprise me. But I'm back of the enveloping right now, yes.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
I think at this point I'd like to go on to the next steps and sort of talk about these, get everybody thinking about where we go now. This is possibly, my last meeting coming and presenting the information in front of you, and thank you again very much for allowing me to do this. And sorry I can't answer all your questions about all the different the design areas. But certainly for the project, the next steps, the milestones leading to the construction of the upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant following adoption of the final draft master plan. Really accept the draft master plan. This would be at one of maybe the next meeting or something where we'd come out with whatever recommendations that we've made to date and that people agree on, like the partial composting and such, and we can put these, you know, recommendations in the draft master plan, that would go to a vote. Begin the flood study impact, certainly the phase two, what I'm calling phase two. We already did the phase one work, and I showed you earlier the two sub-phases, and that, to my understanding, would be sort of a directive to Bruce to, you know, work with Wallace on that or work with Corolla to get that rolling. Begin the environmental review process. There are some questions that are coming up, and this, again, would most likely be a directive to Bruce to start on the environmental documents and getting something going with that so that, you know, can get reviewed and start the process. Beginning the design process. This is once we submit the draft master plan and it's approved, then the environmental process can begin. And then you can also, again, if you'd like, direct Bruce to look for the design or start looking at the components of the design. Preferably with Corolla would be, of course, my preference.
A comment?
Yes.
Yeah. Either way, whatever would be helpful for people when they come up for public comment if we have those answered beforehand.
In looking at your staff report, Mr. Keough, I wish I knew this thoroughly. I always think it's so strange that we're up here making decisions about such technical stuff, but it's only if you compost that it has to go to a sludge drying bed. Otherwise, it's direct haul, get it out of here. Or do we do it, do we put it in the sludge bed anyway just to lessen the weight on the direct haul?
My understanding is that if you, I have a brief discussion of aerobic versus anaerobic digestion, mm-hmm. and aerobic digestion is a component of the oxidation ditch process. It's bacteria consuming the solids and stabilizing the solids through the use of oxygen. The anaerobic digesters have no oxygen in them. It is truly an anaerobic process. The byproduct of that is methane and a more stable solids. I don't believe if you go with the oxidation ditch without rehabilitating the digesters that you can take those solids and spread them in the sludge beds. My understanding through Corolla is that the odor and fly component is just too great. So in order to, so you're going to be hauling mechanically dewatered solids probably at like 20, I'm going to guess at 20% solids. You're going to be hauling a lot of wet weight to the valley to another facility to compost. The cost estimates for that in the current facilities plan is about $200,000. If you go to anaerobic digestion, which is what we have now, you can mechanically dewater those solids, and I should step back. For the aerobic digestion, you're going to have a subclass B product. It does not meet the EPA guidelines for class A or class B. If you go with anaerobic digestion, you can produce a class B product. You could mechanically dewater it to 20% solid, similar to what you do with the aerobic product. And you could haul that product to the valley as is. You could spread that product in the sludge drying beds. And even if we were space limited, if you could knock out another 20% of the moisture content, that's less water weight. We're paying by the ton to dispose of this product. So you're going to save some money on that end. Or you can compost that product.
Significantly, the upgrade of this is going to increase us. That's because we're removing more from the stream.
That's correct. By removing, you're going to have a greater removal of our suspended solids are averaging like 20, 21 milligrams per year right now in the discharge. That's going to go down to 5. You have some increase there. You're going to take BOD, which is closer to 45 milligrams per liter, and drop it down to 5. And David can correct me, I think for every pound of BOD you remove, you're going to produce 0.6 pounds of suspended solids. So you're taking what's dissolved in the waste stream primarily and converting that into biomass, which you're settling out. So you're kind of getting a double whammy on that end, in that you're going to have a significant you're going to have an increase in biosolids no matter what you do. So the 30% that we're doing now if we were only able to produce 5 or 6 windrows a year, that might drop down to, say, 15% of your total production, depending on what
because
that
the total
increase
so.
Is.
Okay. Other questions?
Okay, I've got a couple of questions. And Tracy, I want to refer to what you have up on the overhead there. It says accept the draft master plan. What's the status of the master plan at this time?
The master plan is all the technical memos and the chapters that we've been presenting so far. And you've seen the written portions. And this would be bringing that together. And if we know on the decision on the location for the oxidation ditches, that's put in the master plan. The more information that we know, we can do better costs and everything. It's relatively complete because next month the plan is to present, to give you all the plan and have you adopt it since you've known, you know, we've presented all the information in it.
So okay, will the issue of the biosolids and this method of chlorinating be something that would be in the master plan?
I think the biosolids should be in there. The method of chlorination, I think, can easily be taken care of in the environmental process to weigh that. But with this significant,
that's something we just need to have Bruce contact Wallace and have him get started on it, or do we need? What's the status of that?
Well, I think you need to have probably some sort of approval of the contract or award a contract on that, and I would really defer that discussion to Dylan Wade as to when that should occur, whether it has to occur immediately or whether it can occur in 6 months. I can't answer that question. I read the report, and I can read it, but I have a very difficult time speaking floodplain. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, my concern here is not about the technical issues of floodplaining, but simply the schedule. And I think in every motion, all of us have agreed to get this thing done as quickly as possible. And so I'm anxious now to say, what's the next step? How do we keep the process moving? Is that the thing that's slowing us down, or is it the next step to do? And I'm only looking at that. Right. They're in that order up there on the chart. Is that the way we need to be moving forward?
Bruce, I think we gave you, just as far as physically where we are, a contract. We gave you a contract where Wallace would be our sub, so that that way it's operating under an existing contract rather than a new one. I think that's physically where the contractual, where we worked.
Yeah, I think that's the way we worked it. We amended the contract, the original facilities plan contract, so that could certainly be done again, but I would, I'd really like to get Dylan's input on the scope of work and how he feels about that whole issue. I think from my initial discussions with Mr. Wade is that we could begin. He would like to see the environmental process and the design process go forward kind of hand in hand concurrently, because he's concerned about the environmental process potentially hampering the design process and making sure that who's ever doing those two processes are in communication, so that any issues that need to be resolved can be resolved as they work through that process and not have to come back at a later date. And that's about as much as I can tell you at this point.
Okay, well, really, your focus there on my next question was the environmental review process and the design process. Who would be doing those? Can you?
Well, I think we'd probably have to put an RFP out for the environmental review process, and we would have to evaluate how we would like to present, how we would like
to the design engineers, so that, as Bruce is saying, they can work hand in hand. So I've seen it both ways. Sometimes it can tend to go faster and be kept on schedule if it's in the design contract. And the flood impact study, that you could wait on a little bit, as Bruce is saying, and get the input. But it needs to be started near the beginning of design. So when I say wait a little bit, it's not too long, but you don't have to do it tonight.
Okay, it's just my concern that we, if there's something we need to do at this time to, you know, give Bruce the nod to move forward with the selection process or however you want to do it, but not to delay and not to just put this on the shelf and then wake up several months from now and find out that we should have been doing something.
Well, actually, I had intended to. I have a staff report, a draft staff report that discussed the environmental review process and procuring a consultant. But not knowing the outcome of the council meeting Monday night, we decided to hold back on that issue and maybe bring the authorization to prepare the RFP at the next JPA meeting. And I don't know whether that has to be agendized or whether we can simply get some sort of direction from council and board. I'd have to let.
Would you then, you'd suggested perhaps sitting down with Corolla and sole sourcing the design process. Is that something that you could start just discussions with them and kind of start gathering information about how that would occur and whether or not they're the guys we want to do this?
I would imagine we could, but I think at a staff level we really need to take a step back and see how we want to proceed on that and then have that discussion would be my first, and I really have just given it a cursory glance as to how that process would come forward.
Okay, and then the other thing that's lingering in the back of my mind here is that layout that you've discussed in one of the earlier pictures up there. Is that something we should take to our technical committee? And because I'm certain odor is something that we need to all look at, I'm not qualified to say where things should go. I'm not a sewer plant designer. I do understand odors with the neighbors, and we expect to talk to Doug here in a moment. But is that something we should take to our technical committee and have a more detailed discussion?
Well, I think it's certainly a very important issue, and that would be an issue probably that the subcommittee could tackle.
Okay, I'd like.
I guess I look at it a little differently, and it is the first step here we have to get done with is this master plan, and that's why I think you need to listen to your specialists here, and I think that's what they need done first is that master plan, and the questions to finalize that is the biosolids issue, because that goes into the technical issues. So what does it take to get that master plan? I've heard the biosolids and Mamie looking at that map to where everything gets configured, and that definitely, I agree with you, would take it back to the technical group, because you got to look at all the different properties and how the ownership is to make that determination and looking at the odor issues, and that's more of a technical, so maybe that. But I think the first thing you want to do is you get the master plan done, and then everything starts flowing from there, and we can start doing it. But I think the first task we want to get done with is this master plan and get it accepted.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, should we go to public comment? Ready for public comment then?
Yes.
Okay. Public comment, please, on this issue, and again, please observe the 3-minute limit.
Honorable Council, staff, Joint Powers Association, friends and friends at home, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group once again. I'd like to thank the nice people from Corolla for their excellent presentation. And once again, I'd like to thank you all for your diligent work on this important issue in protecting our coastal resource. I think that what we're looking at here, we're looking at two major issues. Number one is money and funding. And number two is just how important it is to take into consideration these THMs or trihalomethanes, which are endocrine disruptors. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the endocrine disruptors and the trihalomethanes and the use, the dangerous use of chlorine. There's a book that I recommended to several of you already, and it's called Trust Us, We're Experts. And there are two other books by these authors called Our Stolen Future, and the other one is Pandora's Poison. And they're all about the folly of chlorination. Chlorination that is put into water through several different places, but one of them is in treating sewage. It's It's true what the gentleman from Corello said, that the issue is where chlorine bonds with carbon, and it forms organochlorines, or chlorinated hydrocarbons, among the most dangerous class of chemicals, known as immunosuppression and cancer, often at extremely low doses. And so I think what that means to us is that it's not true that when it's in the ocean it's okay. Because in this case, in the case of endocrine disruptors, the dilution of pollution is no solution. Now I'd like to take a moment to talk about costs. When you talk about costs here, remember that local regulatory agencies have recently said that the key to funding for projects such as we is going to be whether or not a Proposition 218 vote passes in Los Osos. So it behooves you to stop with the fear-mongering of, oh, those people from Los Osos are crazy. The truth is that people like us are crazy if we don't take advantage of the financial initiatives that would come along with putting together the regional plan. Now, there's nothing that you're doing right now that couldn't be built in such a fashion so as to be expandable. The main thing is remembering that what we're moving toward here as an oxidation ditch is exactly the configuration that had the beaches in Pismo closed down on Memorial Day weekend. It reminds me of 1999 in Huntington Beach when our beaches were closed on the 4th of July. That is a financial consideration that makes you crazy. Now, what I would suggest is, it behooves us to not only look into a regional full tertiary plan with reclamation that would open us up to Prop 84, Prop 50 money, but also what we need to look at is the immediate situation. I thank the director, Alphonse, for bringing it up, and the endocrine disruptors, the chlorination, the trihalomethanes, and what we might do to use membrane bioreactor, or the MBR technology, which would take out some of these. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you. And I would also remind the mayor that with the Winter Bird Festival, a lot of the ways we found out about endocrine disruptors and how bad they are is the way it affected avian wildlife. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you, Joey. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Clausen, we'd like to hear from you.
Doug Clausen, manager and one of the owners. For the smell, it does smell. As long as the wind blows off the ocean, it's fine. When there is no breeze at all, and it's just stagnant at the right around that area there, that's when the pungent smell is. With the green waste and they're making the mulch, you know, it's got a musty smell. You know, I've been there off and on for 40 years, so it's just new people coming into town in the 80s when the digesters both went down, and that was during the summer and most of the wind was offshore, and a lot of new people that were coming to the park, they would want their money back and say they're never coming back. The old timers that come there for years know that, you know, when the wind blows off the ocean, there's not much of a smell. So that's basically, if you have any questions.
So it's something we need to consider.
If you would, okay. It would help.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council and the board. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so confused about it. It's like trying to hold water in your hands, figuring out how much this is going to cost. If we go to the composting, we've got additional costs in preparing for that and preparing around what it does. If we don't go to the composting, it's cheaper, but we risk the possibility that we can't truck it after a few years. I don't know about anybody else, but I really don't have a direction feeling that we should go on this. I mean, one's more expensive now and creates other problems in itself. The other one is less expensive now but could be impossible in a few years. I need advice from somebody who can look in their more informed crystal ball and tell us what to do here. I mean, I really don't feel qualified to make that decision.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah.
I mean, our consultants have told us they're recommending partial composting. I mean, that's what we're doing. This is what they're suggesting we continue. My concern that comes out of that, and I think that's probably a good idea because that at least keeps us in the end game. My concern is the preferred site, which looks like it's just about in the very entrance of the recreational vehicle park. And I think what I'm as concerned about as least offensive as possible to those people that want to come here and stay and enjoy the community and leave their money.
Madam Mayor, I would add to what Mr. Pierce has said. I think that the idea of the siting and the increased need for land is something that is an issue that hasn't been discussed because we have bifurcated, we've cut in half this process. We've talked about do we want to go tertiary or secondary and which kind of tertiary, and then over here let's talk about biosolids and other kinds of things because they're actually interrelated. If we had gone with the MBR process, that's a smaller footprint. We wouldn't have to encroach into the RV park. And we could still have room for expanding the biosolids and the sludge part. But we didn't look at that at the same time. So now we have to look at taking away from something else, which could be an income producer for us. And so it's like we've kind of messed ourselves up here. And so do we need to take this apart and relook at that? Do we need to look at the big picture now that we have all the parts involved rather than say this is what could have been, this is what, well, we've committed to this, but now it screws us up over here? You know, I don't know. I'm not feeling comfortable either.
Well, I got the feeling that we could relocate this over by the concrete plant. Is that not true? Didn't you say that there's room over there for the ditches?
And then does that take income away from the city and from the district?
Not in the RV park, but in the concrete plant area.
But does it take money away, rental income away from us because we're encroaching on the property?
Bruce, do you have any input on that question?
Well, I think certainly you can. I mean, I would imagine if the district and the city want to sit down and talk about where it would go and who owns what and what's jointly held. You know, I have advocated through the whole process trying not to take revenue-generating property out of and putting it into the treatment plant, knowing the city's financial status right now. But that may be a question we have to take to the subcommittee and kind of kick that can around for a while because I think there's a number of ways to do it, but it may take some involved discussion on what is the most preferred option for where to put it. I'm a little, and when it comes to solids issues, I know a lot about it. I'm just confused. I still have a lot of questions hanging over my head as to which direction you should go. And a lot of that is based purely on capital cost.
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead. Obvious. You just hit the cursor keys back.
While she's doing that, I would like at some point on another note to see a some additional costs put in that laundry list of how much it's going to cost and cost per the ratepayer, because I think I would like to see, and it may not be the norm, but I would like to see the other chlorination process added to the hopper.
That's right.
And see that where that would go in the footprint and see just how much more we're talking monthly to the poor consumer or okay. Flusher.
And I also support that idea.
I do too,
Mr. Pierce. Okay, if we look at the options up there, and all of us have this in front of us, and so we can see it a little bit clearer even, if you notice all the red things in the middle of the plant that are actually being retired, they're out of date, they're old. Now, I'm wondering what use will be made of that area once we raise those buildings and those structures. Aside from potentially another anaerobic digester that might have to be placed somewhere, I would like to say, too, because I think this is our chance to put something into that subcommittee discussion, that every time I have visited any of these plants, including our own, the place that smells is the sludge beds. both at Pismo and at San Luis Obispo, I stood above those oxidation ditches and had pleasant conversations, and I just didn't think they were the smelly part, but walked by that sludge basin or that composting facility at San Luis Obispo, it nauseated me. You know, that's what smells. So it actually improves the trailer park down there, Morro Dunes, to put the oxidation ditch where the sludge beds are now. Then when we look at the sludge beds, I don't know why they couldn't go where the red things are right now, and I saw some reaction over there, or why they couldn't simply go over into the back of the concrete facility, because you see there that the concrete facility is basically parking or something in back. I've never really toured that facility, so I don't know. But to put anything on top of something that's revenue generating like the storage facility, or any idea to put any kind of, I would move that sludge back away from our beaches, the roads to the beaches. I'd put it right in the middle of your plant, frankly.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Can I reiterate a point I think that Mr. Stringfield made earlier? And if you wanted to relocate the area that the sludge beds sit in, the farther east you go, you impact Lila Kaiser Park. I mean, we're kind of, you're starting to get into this, we got to discuss the mode of, you know, we're surrounded by civilization, and we're now, in the past, we haven't really had a choice about where we put things, but whether you move that bed 100 feet east or 200 feet east, my guess is the odor's, you're not getting rid of the odor. It's just going to depend on which way the wind is blowing, and I think that's a very important point to remember.
And I think it's also important there to compare Lila Kaiser and the Morro Dunes side and the beach itself. We're planning another kite festival. Do I care that Lila Kaiser is sitting there empty, nothing's going on until the evening or the afternoons? Or do I care that there are hundreds of people down on the beach? You know, so it's half of one and the other, but you look at uses, I think you'll vote for preserve the beach.
Well, and can we get a response to that idea of when the clarifiers are removed, we could put the sludge beds back there, even if it would take a couple of moves?
I guess I wasn't clear before. I think the issue is just biosolids. What do you want to do with them? And then we can still look at this property because it has to be dissected and looked at very closely. Putting it on the trailer park, I mean, I'm not for that because that's 100% owned by the city and gets into all sorts of property ownership issues then with Cayucas. So, I mean, we've got the back of our own yard that we can look at. We can look at the area where the clarifiers are. But I think the main issue that they need to finish the master plan is the biosolids issue. So, and we can still come back, because I think it needs to be looked at real closely, all those issues of where to put the biosolids. If you're not going to do biosolids, we're going to truck them, the issue goes away. But I think they need to finish the master plan up by figuring out what you want to do with the biosolids, and if you need more information, then what information do you do to make that decision. But I don't think a decision needs to be made tonight on where it exactly going to go. I'm staff not even going to recommend that right now because we haven't dissected that information, and I think it's a perfect issue for the technical committee.
Well, that's exactly it, though. I think what we're doing is clarifying what we would like the technical committee
to give them information.
So that's I think, you know, our discussion on that is certainly going to be helpful when they meet, and this is the issues that we're concerned about.
There. Even looking at the RV
parks, the way they should be in that area, it's just not the right place for it anymore. Maybe we should have thought of that about several designs ago as far as RV parks, but we, as I say, now we have three RV parks, one big one, one smaller one, and one little one, and two motels. We're not going to get away from the smell, I don't care which way the wind's going, and that's a problem. We may need to rethink this whole thing.
Relook at Choro Valley. You're in the floodplain, you got smells. If you're out in the country in ag land, it's not an issue.
Okay, Cayucas, you want to have your discussion on this whole thing?
Well, I'm reading a staff report which says staff is not prepared to recommend a biosolids treatment option, and I'm not good enough to second guess staff. So I'm the recommendation here, I believe, is to have further discussion. Bruce seems to think he needs further information, and I'd like to see if we can't get that for him. I'd like to see this I think we could discuss the biosolids issued at the technical committee a little bit, along with the layout. And then I've noted here that on Tracy's last slide, we have the next meeting date sometime in July is the facilities master plan public meeting, and I don't see how we can make these two decisions and make a July meeting, but can you help me with that? Is that possible?
If I could, Bruce asked us, if you made these decisions tonight, when could we come back to you? And we looked at the calendar, and probably maybe August 9th, Thursday, August 9th, if you made these decisions. We probably need 5 weeks to take your final decision and create a final master plan for your adoption. So, if you made the decision tonight, it'd be August 9th at the earliest. If you need more, another couple meetings, just add 4 or 5 weeks to whenever we're given the final direction on the biosolids. I think the biosolids is the ones that we need direction on to finish the facilities plan. The siting of the ditch could be handled in the preliminary design with discussions with staff and you. The method of chlorination could be handled in preliminary design with discussions with you and staff.
Madam Mayor, Mr. Stringfield, is the only thing you really need from us is whether we want to go partial or not at all? Is that the basis?
What's PISMO going to do with their waste if the direct hauling is prohibited?
Well, the same thing you would do. When they're faced with that, they will come back, they'll hire an engineer like me, and we'll come back and say, okay, now, here are your options. If composting on the site isn't the right thing, we'd go find another site. Or if there is no other site, some other physical treatment that doesn't cause odors, which there aren't too many of those, but we would find another alternative. But we'd cross that road when faced with it, rather than trying to second guess and solve it right now.
Okay. And Mr. Stringfield?
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe I heard Tracy say that you guys recommend that we do partial composting.
We made that recommendation, and if I could, I'd say there's no bad decision here.
Mm-hmm.
Direct haul or partial compost are both excellent decisions. I lean toward partial composting in my recommendation.
Is that
because
for the cost thing? Hmm? To keep the cost or the environmental?
Because I lean toward partial composting because it's been very well accepted in the community. It's the green thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking forward. But you do have to live with the kind of odors that you've had. But I've understood that although not perfect, they've been acceptable.
And then if we could make a decision tonight about partial composting, we're not really saying a percentage like 30 or 20. We're just saying that we're accepting some sludge beds somewhere, some amount of sludge beds somewhere.
Yes, and absolutely. And in preliminary design, we can look at that footprint. We can site the ditch right on top of that sludge bed. And relocate the sludge bed farther away. I don't know that would really mitigate your odors. But in preliminary design, mm-hmm. those are the kind of issues that are normally resolved in the beginning of the design. We want this one right here. We want this one right here. So we're probably doing some preliminary design right now. So.
Thank you. And I would just say that this is the group that we paid all this money to do this study, and he's recommending that we just say partial because it's sustainable, it's the right thing to do, and he's not telling us 38 beds, 4 beds.
Back in their facility plan which way you're heading, and then the final decision is going to be made there with the draft. So you're just directing staff as to which you want to go, which direction, but it's really going to be in the final plan where your decision is going to be made.
Okay, so
I don't have any problem.
We don't need a motion this evening.
Yeah, if the direction is to send it on to staff to make that suggestion right now, it's going to be the final decision is going to be made when you finally adopt the master plan.
Okay, thanks. I take it from all the information we have that direct haul is simply the cheapest. Bruce has, I believe, acquired some acclaim for his efforts in this area down at the plant. I'd hate to see him lose it. Melody's made a good point. Partial could be a little tiny bit or a big tiny bit. Right now, Bruce, you're, I think the figures you had here, you were doing 30% composting. And if we, you know, only had room to, say, do 10% now, and as we move along in the future and more money becomes available, or we know more money is available, then we might be able to amp it up. But if we said we were going to do partial composting and we knew then that we were keeping at least two of the digesters, we're going to rehab those, how much Bruce does with those, it's really up to Bruce at that point what he can handle, the amount of green waste that he could pull in from the community. I can see supporting that direction. So I'd like to hear from some of our board members what you're feeling on that. Bud, do you want to chime in?
Robert, as usual, I like your summary. Very well stated, and it all makes sense. And I would agree with that that stance at this moment in time.
Oh, okay. From what I've heard tonight, and I see on the agenda, we really can't make a decision, but we have gone a long way towards reaching a consensus, and I think the consensus is partial.
In the drawing, and I think I'm hearing also that we would prefer, or Morro Bay would prefer to stay within the existing footprint so they don't lose any revenue producing things. And Lord, I'm not going to vote for anything that's going to take revenue away from Morro Bay. So I think the green just goes away, in my mind.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Betty, conclusion? You agree with what's been said?
Yes, I'm for partial.
Okay. Melody? Okay. We're discussing. I'm looking for consensus here. Okay, Bill.
When I walked in here, I was for partial, and then in the middle of this, I thought, you know what? Maybe I ought to just turn around and say, let's just haul it out of here, because it would be the best thing for us. And then if the axe falls down the road, we can always put it in. But I will knuckle under to the wisdom of the mass, and I will say partial at some level.
It's called foresight.
Okay, well, I agree. I want to go with the partial. I'm looking at the figures here, and there's a difference, an estimated difference, with the ongoing maintenance and everything of about $374,000. That's not little, but it's, given the numbers we're talking about, it's not that big either. The only thing that I would ask the technical committee to do also is to look at what we can do about this chlorine situation, which I admit I know very little about, and include that in whatever discussions that you have so we can determine whether that's something that we need to provide for now as well, because that's another cost. So, does that give you enough direction then, everyone? Bruce, David?
So if I hear you correctly, the subcommittee would like to talk a little bit more about the chlorination issue, mm-hmm. specifically the THMs. They want to go with, I'm not clear what the direction on, are we giving direction to Corollo to include partial composting yes. in the facility's master plan?
Yes.
And they will bring back a master plan for adoption at the next meeting. That's
if they can do that without the technical committee's input to this group, then yes.
And then the last one would be the site considerations. I think they can do the biosolids without the technical subcommittee's input, I would imagine, because really what you're talking about is whether you're going to
reuse. That would probably help us in looking for money. And if this problem of composting and you can't take it elsewhere really becomes an issue downstream, the fact that we're doing partial composting, that could almost be like we have a plan to do full composting, and we're going to do a little bit at now and a full plan at some later time. And that may help us if people want to start throwing spears at the fact that we're carrying our sludge over to another area. So I think it just reinforces my opinion or decision that that's what we ought to do. Thank you.
All right. Okay, then we'll move on to C1, the proposed budget for the.
Would it be possible?
I think
to take
we added the resolution.
You want to take a break? Okay. Oh, on the next meeting date? Okay. We usually do that last, but.
Well, a meeting date for this. For them to come back.
Right.
That depends.
Yeah, it depends on us.
Yeah.
All right, so we're looking at end of July, the 26th.
Were you suggesting August 9th, somebody?
August.
No, there's no budget. I just need to take a short break.
So are you setting August 9th as the next JPA meeting?
Pardon?
Was August 9th the preferred date for that meeting?
That, according to Carollo.
But it's.
I have something, but I can probably get out of it.
Are we jumping to C3?
No, we're trying to
no,
set.
No, we're setting a date for our next meeting.
It's the last slide in Tracy's presentation,
well, we
which is the next meeting date. To look at the. No. Well, yeah, it becomes. It may be a separate meeting. We may have another one before that. I don't know. But it would be a meeting to discuss or to accept the facilities master plan. Is that right?
Is Wednesday a problem for anyone else? Does anybody else have a conflict? I have a speaking thing that I've agreed to that I could get out of if I have to, but...
Any day's fine with me.
Is Wednesday the 8th?
Okay.
Work for anybody?
I don't know. August 8th.
Wednesday the 8th? Okay. Yeah.
So we're going with August 8th, is that what?
Right. Got it.
Okay.
I trust that we'll.
We're back, and we're going to go to C1 New Business, which is the proposed budget for the 2007-08 year. And Susan, do you have a presentation for us?
Thank you. This is just the budget that has been already adopted by the City Council for the wastewater treatment plant facility, and we wanted to present this budget to the Cayuga Sanitary District, and if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay, Mora Bay, questions?
We already passed it.
I know, but Beth has some concerns.
Kind of weird, huh? Just to clarify, Ms. Slayton, on page 2, I guess it would be, on the back of the first cover, it shows that our the taking out of the sewer accumulation fund, which I assume is like a reserve fund, and do both Morro Bay and Cayucas pay into that fund? Is it just Morro Bay?
Just Morro Bay, yes.
And our costs keep going, we keep pulling out more and more from there, and yet the budget's going down, so I'm not understanding that.
The sewer collections fund has set a kind of a fixed rate of what they want to contribute into the, or what they are able actually to contribute into the towards the operation of the wastewater treatment plant. So we look at that, we gear our expenditures around that number, along with any capital items. Now, in this particular budget, there's $306,000 of capital items which would not be which would not have been planned by the sewer collection fund to compensate. So you've got $263,000 that's actually unfunded by the sewer fund, and so the accumulation fund does pick up the difference.
Where's the $260,000?
If you look at the amount that we're transferring from the accumulation fund, and that shows in your revenues, it's a transfer in, and that's on page one of the report that is in, you know, it's not covered by the sewer fund. And the sewer fund tries each year to cover whatever the wastewater treatment plant expenditures are going to be. This year they weren't able to make it. The capital costs would normally come out of the accumulation fund.
When you say the fund made the decision to keep a steady amount of contribution, it's not the fund, it's somebody. Is that right? Is it like,
yes,
Mr. Ambo?
Correct.
Is it Mr.
Yes.
Keough? And so that was a policy decision that was made, that we're not doing that?
That was a policy decision based on the fact that the budget was basically a rollover budget, so they kept their contribution the same.
Even though costs went up, and the one fund can't charge the other?
True.
They're in,
yes,
charge of both, so they're just deciding who gets the bucks.
Right. And, of course, the sewer fund did not wind up with any money that it was going to be able to contribute towards the accumulation fund. It was just barely breaking even as it was.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from Morbe? Okay. Cayucas.
Okay. Let me refer this to our staff. Bill or Bonnie, did you have any comments you wanted to make on this?
Bill Callahan, Cayucas Sanitary District. I don't think we have any comments other than the ones that were given to you in the staff report.
I don't have the staff report for some reason.
I believe that was emailed to you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is there anything in there we need to...
They're looking at their staff report.
Okay.
That's okay. It's all right.
Okay. Thank you. I have the report. Bonnie?
Yeah, Mr. President and Morro Bay Council. The only issue, and actually I just had a conversation with Susan Slayton, and that I was looking at the personnel total, looked like it had considerably dropped from the prior year budget. And I now understand the reasons for that. There were some reclassifications, but there was a personnel, I think, transferred out of wastewater treatment plant to the collection side of things. So there was actually an overall, you know, slight increase. The benefits dropped considerably too, which was unusual. You would expect the benefits to go up. But as Susan pointed out, if you look at the benefits in the budget versus the 2006 actual expenditures, it's tracking fairly close. So that was the only issue, is it was just, why is this going down? It's good news, but it's unusual typically. So I'm satisfied. I think that was the only thing I was perplexed by.
Okay, I was just curious if we were going to give Bruce that raise we talked about at the last meeting. Not yet. Well, that's really up to Morro Bay. Staff recommendation is listed here. Does someone want to make a motion?
You can read it.
No, you can just say motion to accept staff.
I recommend that we accept the staff's recommendation to accept the budget.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, motion and second. Any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Now, if you wanted to increase Bruce's salary paid for by Cayucas, I'm sure we would not object.
Well, you never know. We might help. He's doing a good job. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, and C2, the fiscal quarter invoice, the third quarter of 06-07. And this is Susan again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is the invoice that we're presenting to the Board of Directors for the third quarter expenses. That would be the expenses from January through March 31 of 2007. And I believe this invoice has been sent to the Sanitary District ahead of time for review. And the amount of the invoice is $80,204.14. And I'll give that back to the board.
All right, the staff.
And Susan, do you want to explain that one?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I was in contact with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Our grant coordinator, Angela Schroeder, contacted me and said that one of the things that we needed for the small community wastewater grant was a resolution that adopted the project timeline. We had not done that. We had gotten into an agreement, but apparently the project timeline needed to be adopted by resolution. The resolution, I guess, says we're more committed to doing this and that we feel, you know, very strongly about doing this project. So I went ahead and talked to Angela. She gave me some samples that I could use to prepare, and so I've arrived at a draft resolution that I presented. In the time, you know, that it took to get to this item, our city attorney, Rob Schultz, had some conversation and just had a few things that he wanted removed from the resolution. If I may, would you like me just to read the resolution as
sure.
It will now exist?
Okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
and oh, just the changes. Okay. So we go down to the fourth whereas paragraph, and that would now say, whereas the residents of the city of Morro Bay and the community of Cayucas depend on this jointly owned wastewater treatment system. The next one would be, whereas members of the public, environmental organizations, and state and local agencies have expressed a concern about the potential for pollution of the estuary due to the wastewater treatment facility. So the word aged would be removed.
Very good. Can we go back to that previous paragraph? Did you take out the outdated?
Yes.
That, okay. That
yes.
Was
it. Sorry, I should
I missed that. Thank you.
Said that more clearly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Paragraph 6. Whereas the City Council of the City of Morro Bay, which is the governing board representing the citizens of the City of Morro Bay, and the Board of Directors of the Cayucas Sanitary District, which is the community board representing the residents of Cayucas, support actions to upgrade.
Maintains its chronological order.
That's a good idea.
And I will not be voting for this unless we change some of the dates. I think to allow 4 years for an environmental review is too long. I think to allow some of the other things that we've already accomplished and need to move some of these things up, I can't vote for it going until the 2014 March.
Is this taken from the schedule that we submitted to the Water Board?
Yes, it was.
And this is a grant going to the Water Board?
Yes.
I think they have to agree then.
I think if we shorten it, they're not going to complain.
Okay, any other comments from Morro Bay? All right, Cayucas?
I just know on that matter, I think we need to be consistent. But otherwise, with the changes that have just been read into the record, I think that we're prepared to pass the motion.
All right. So can I have a motion on Morro Bay side?
So moved.
You want to be a little more specific.
Okay, I move approval of this motion with the corrections as made by staff.
And council.
And council.
Second. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, 3-1.
Okay, this resolution, does it have a number at the top?
At this time, it doesn't. I wasn't familiar enough, and it was kind of late in the day. I wasn't familiar enough of the typical numbering system that we use for the JPA.
Okay, as long as we know which one it is, we're okay. Suggest someone put forward a motion. It'll be the same motion that Morro Bay made.
I will move that the resolution be adopted as amended by staff and council and the board.
I second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Thank you, Mayor Peters.
All right, then we have to schedule our next joint meeting, which we have done for August 8th, a Wednesday. And then do you want to schedule a technical committee, subcommittee meeting now while everyone's here?
Yes. I'll be gone from the 11th until the 18th of July. I believe we have a meeting on the evening of the 18th, so I couldn't do that.
How about a meeting before the 11th?
10th,
what day
which
of the
I
week
believe is
it?
Is a Tuesday. I'm usually up at 5.
I was just asking.
But the donut shop may not be open, right? Is it our turn to bring the donuts?
It is
I think
your
you
turn.
Brought donuts twice. So whatever time you'd like to meet, it doesn't have to be
Are you
early.
Coming to Morro Bay or do you want us to come
we
there?
We can come to Morro Bay. That'll be fine.
Come to Morro Bay?
Mm-hmm. Same place we met before.
Where's that?
At the City Hall.
Public Works or, office?
Yeah, Public Works.
Last time was right here.
When
is the actual start?
How about we make it location to be announced? It'll be in Morro Bay, and we'll
it's a
you know.
Tuesday. I need if you're truly flexible, I need for it to be in the afternoon. If you're not flexible, early is good.
Bud,
say again. I'm sorry.
Do you want
I prefer the afternoon, but if that doesn't work, I earlier the better.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, so Tuesday the 10th in the afternoon.
That works.
1 o'clock?
1 o'clock works.
Okay.
Location to be announced.
Okay.
Okay, Betty, will you take care of finding a place and letting them know?
Is 1 o'clock too late for donuts?
No.
I was thinking you're bringing lunch.
Watermelon.
Dessert.
I do have a question about the next... meeting of the whole
agenda items.
Just the location. Are we meeting in Cayucas again?
If it's Wednesday, this building is available.
I'm concerned that Cayucas has been left out, the community. And so I'd like to go back to alternating.
Thank you. It was a matter of television crew having to move their equipment. And
I think they can do that.
Unfortunately, it's been very tough for us to get a place to meet. The school is under construction, if we've met there before. The Veterans Hall is booked pretty solid during the summer, so the city was nice enough to offer to host up till now. If we could continue to do that, I mean, I can try to get the Vets Hall, but it's really tough.
Yeah, we can do it.
I'm just saying that I prefer that we alternate. And
I understand that, but it's been a situation where they're having difficulty getting a place for us. So as long as it's okay with Cayucas, I would think that we can be the host until that is rectified and they have another place again.
Perhaps, Bill, could you tell us how you notify the residents of Cayucas? I know you had a recent meeting. What was the turnout like, and how did you notice people?
We noticed at the Citizens Advisory Council.
Okay.
Oh no, I was wondering how your turnout was to that meeting, because I want to know that Cayucas citizens are participating in this process.
Yeah, we had a pretty slim turnout, and if I think that if you read the Bay News.
Yeah, I did.
That came out tonight. They kind of talked about that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we haven't exactly had a huge turnout of Morro Bay people either at our meeting. So.
Here and there
okay.
We have.
Agenda items?
If you would, if the entire board would suffer me about 4 minutes for a quick story. A gentleman talked to me today, and I promised him that I would say something publicly tonight, so I feel, and it is about this process. This man's name is John. He talked to me for an hour, then he talked to Bruce for an hour right after talking to me about this project. And you know, the unfortunate thing about this whole thing is that the good ideas always come out when we're already decided. But this was a very brand new idea to me. The idea was that we would approach the TAC, the county TAC that's working on Los Osos, and suggest that we use their money to take on them as ratepayers and process their sewage over here. Now, David Stringfield's already said, yeah, that'd be possible. You'd put another oxidation ditch in. It's basically like doubling the plant. It's also possible to put the pipe around the estuary. You put it in a concrete shroud, according to the water board. What we have then, and what this fellow was concerned with, and he lives in Los Osos, actually, is he used to be an employee of ours in Morro Bay, and he said, you know, it's nutty. You're trying to do this with too few ratepayers. You need to grab the Los Osos money. So I would just say a couple of things about Los Osos, and that is that there's an article in today's Sun Bulletin by Pavel Ogren, who's the county engineer with the TAC, and he says it's time to stop calling them a bunch of crazies, and I would urge you all to read that article. Secondly, the county is in control of this project now, and they are all predicting that the 218 vote will go through. And then finally, and I think most importantly, as a point here, when I was at the Ocean Protection Council, I talked to the chief staff person, Drew Bohan, for the Ocean Protection Council, and I was talking about the sea level thing, and he just looked at me with a strange look on his face, if he's ever been to a TAC. They meet every Monday over in Los Osos, or if he's talked to perhaps Pavel Ogren or somebody about what a wacky idea this would be. And I was wondering if we would generate any interest enough to even put this on a future agenda at some time, or have Bruce put it on as a conversation topic under new business to just say this is why it would or wouldn't work. I know we're working with a very constrained site now, but I did want to put this out there. This gentleman I talked to was one of the original proponents of our library, for example, in Morro Bay, and got it built on next to nothing in funds because he was so good at organizing stuff. And I don't know. I've never thought of this as an idea. I always think we're shipping ours to theirs, and now I'm thinking charge them double and ship it over here. But anyway, it's just an idea.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
In 1997, I approached a county supervisor with the idea of doing that and got told it was too late. 97. The die was cast. It was too late. I'd still be in favor of talking to them, but I don't think there's a lot of interest on their part. But hey, you never know.
Well, and that's what Bruce confirmed, that he hasn't heard from them.
Well, and I guess my concern would be, where would that fit into the schedule? If we do open that door, then our schedule goes out the window, and that has me a little concerned.
I don't think it necessarily botches up our schedule. It just changes the facility plan. I would think
that
master plan
would change our schedule, I think.
But we're very far ahead. And we've padded our schedule with years to do different projects. So that doesn't bother me at all. I don't know. Would we want to ask Mr. Bruce to attend the next meeting?
Cayucas, how do you feel?
I don't have any comment. Any board members?
I mean, does it have to be something that would be agendized? How do we agendize? Did Rob leave?
Yeah, everybody left.
Do we have to have agreement on both sides to agendize an item for discussion? Does anyone know that?
No. No, you can put it on the agenda.
Excellent. I'd like to agendize that then and maybe ask Bruce to attend the next TAC or run it by somebody on the TAC and just talk to us next time about it.
Does Cayucas have any problem with us asking that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Bruce?
So I just want to be clear on the direction that we're taking here.
Well, Bruce, it's not to do anything.
Item, and we need to have a public hearing on it. We can't just do that tonight. That's not on our agenda.
What if we just consider it exploratory?
No, no.
I think she's just doing exploratory.
If he wants to go to a meeting, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if he's putting forth an idea at the meeting representing us, that's a whole different story. And that's I just heard you say.
And it's a side conversation. It's not a thing. And it's a,
and even that, no.
Okay.
Now, that I would not go along with. If he wants to attend the meeting and see if there's any possibility there for discussion of this, that's one thing. But to have him go and represent us as being interested in possibly doing something like this,
yeah,
we need to have that on an agenda.
Right. Absolutely. I understand that, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And does it mean that we couldn't still put it on as a new business discussion item, just a discussion item, so that Bruce could tell us his thoughts on this?
Yes, I would say the item that could come back is, you know, ask Bruce to attend one of those meetings, come back with his impression, and whether he feels that this would be something we should explore.
Okay.
How's that?
That'd be great.
Okay.
That would be excellent.
All right. Does everyone agree with that as an agenda item?
Can you repeat that, please?
That you would attend the meeting, gather your impressions.
Drink
their coffee.
As an observer.
As an observer only.
Well, he's got to say something.
With the idea that if you feel that there is something there that might be of interest to them and of interest to us, bring it back and we can discuss it and decide if we want to do anything further. So it would be very subjective, but at least it gets the discussion out there.
You know, it's good to have the discussion out there if it's only to just end it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So we have the discussion. We haven't ignored the idea. Okay?
All right. Would it be better to have perhaps Bruce Ambo or Bob Hendricks make that initial inquiry to perhaps Pavo? Pavo is running the project for the county.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can go to the meeting. And I don't know whether, I'm a little unclear as to whether I'm supposed to stand up there and actually make an official inquiry or just listen to what they have to say. So, and my concern with that is that without knowing what's on the agenda, I may come back and say, hey, they talked about X, Y, or Z, but really it has no pertinent information to us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're truly considering having that discussion, I'm just wondering if it's better not to have somebody that can represent the
issue next meeting, if you would like it on the agenda to discuss this possibility and whether we want to direct someone to make that move. But we can't just say that now without being on the agenda.
That's all I would like.
Okay. So never mind, you don't have to do anything.
It seems to me at this point, if I may interject, that it's probably premature to have anybody go to a meeting at this point until such time as there's some direction from the board, because obviously it's unclear to Bruce, just as it is to me, as to what the exploration would be, whether or not questions were asked, or et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Okay, so we'll just have it as a future agenda item for our next agenda, discussing, and how should we word that? The feasibility of contact with the TTAC.
Well, the feasibility is there. The worth of contacting the TAC on the Los Osos project.
Okay. All right. Anything else for new agenda items, future agenda?
I have a question. Are subcommittee agenda items set at this meeting, or do we generate our own?
I think we kind of discussed the directions we wanted you to go.
I'd like to add the discussion of flow to that.
Okay. Yeah, it's been in and out for a long time, so no reason it can't continue. Okay. Anything else?
That's fine.
All right.
Sure Bruce had the list, so make sure he puts that on there.
Okay. With that, I believe we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Well. And you're.